Yeah, because they invited, if I remember correctly, every kid in the class. So if there's 20 kids, invited 19.
I think that's the difference. And so a lot of times I don't invite every kid in the class just for that. I know the kids that I want to invite out of Sophie's class or out of Ollie's class, and those are the ones that get the invite. Those are the ones that I have their number in my phone because the kids have played outside of school. Those are the ones that get invited to their parties.
And that's what's so crazy. Guess what you just did?
What?
Every kid you didn't invite, you discriminated against.
I didn't discriminate. I excluded. There's a difference.
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I am Tavares Ferguson, a.k.a. Ferg, joined with my co-host, Buff and Rozzy. Fellas, he can do what it do.
I've seen some crazy things in sports. I remember, Ferg, when your coach, Jimmy Johnson, was fired after winning two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Back to back. I've seen also with that same team, you guys pretty much have a victory in hand, and then Leon Lett, I guess, didn't know the rules and touched a blocked field goal and allowed another team to recover. And win. Well, I've seen some even crazier than both of that now. Mario Cristobal, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, his team is up 20-17 with 33 seconds to go.
Uh-huh.
All he has to do is victory formation, kneel, and get out of that with a victory.
But oh, no, no.
What does he do? Run the ball.
Go
fumble.
Go through the lights, Ray.
Georgia Tech recovers, gets on offense.
So what do we,
bam, hold on. Touchdown.
You jumped the gun because they fumble. Okay. All is not lost. Because what?
Right.
We're still winning. There's only 26 seconds left in the game. And they were on the other side of the field.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know.
They gave up two big pass plays. I'm not a fan of knee-jerk reactions. But if they were to fire him, I wouldn't be like, I just would be like, I get it. They were ranked number 17.
Oh, they were undefeated, right? Uh-huh.
Yeah, undefeated, uh-huh. Ranked number 17. They played North Carolina this weekend coming up, who's ranked number 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that would, a victory there moves them up even further. And now, I think they were 25 now or 20, something like that. But it was terrible to see. It was terrible to witness, man. I'm still in disbelief, man, but that was pretty, pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even. Yeah, I can't even explain it. You know, I mean, there was, I want to say, 36 seconds left.
Mm-hmm.
Under 40, right? They snapped the ball about 5-6 seconds left on the play clock. They would have bled the play clock a little more before they snapped the ball. Georgia Tech wouldn't have got that last playoff. But no, we're just going to run this.
And apparently his philosophy is, because they haven't gone in victory formation at all this season. They've done this every game. The difference is this: they've never done it during a one-score game, and this game was, you know, within one score. Well, his philosophy I hear is he doesn't do that because he never wants his team to ever quit or think it's over. I think that philosophy needs to change a little bit.
I mean,
it's over once you kneel.
Well, I mean, it's not like Georgia Tech didn't have timeouts.
They did not have timeouts. They had to clock the ball after one of their big games. They had to run up and clock the ball. 10 seconds left.
They didn't have timeouts. And I mean, when that boy got beat deep, I mean, it was like nobody around him for like 5 to 8 yards.
Yeah, that
Well, you know,
that was blown coverage. That wasn't just getting beat. Like,
yeah, that was blown coverage. Horrible. It would, and he left him 1 second left. So, you know, never give up, right?
So, yeah,
You got to live your creed, sir. You got to, you know, your message. All righty, what else you got, Buff?
That's all I got, man. I think that was crazy enough.
I mean, what do you got, Ryzen? Because there's a lot of craziness going on out in these streets.
It definitely is. Before we get into the craziness, I want to say shout out to you, Buff, for that Red Rooster recommendation. We hit New York, and I was asking for restaurant recommendations. Buff recommended this spot. I think it's only been open for about 4 or 5 years. It's pretty new. Called Red Rooster, right next to Sylvia's. Everybody knows Sylvia's. We were actually going to go to Sylvia's, but decided to do Red Rooster. Perfect, man. It was so good. So the staff was great. The vibe was great. Like, it was just a really cool spot. And on top of that, Haley really enjoyed her trip, man. New York was great.
That's good.
Her first time. She was able to kind of experience and be touristy. And actually, it was fun for me because I've been so many times that I don't look at it like being a tourist. It's rare that I go there and like, I'm going to do touristy things. Like, her being excited to ride the subway was just like foreign to me, but it was kind of cool that she was like super excited about that and everything. We did the boat tour around the Statue of Liberty and everything like that. I was able to kind of show them a little bit of flex and how I can move in spaces because we had booked the trip and we got there right at 3 o'clock, but they said it was full, the 3 o'clock tour. And so they were trying to make us wait until 5. So I went over to the little buddy and was like, yo, how much is it going to cost me to make these whites only pies, some nigga pies? And he understood instantly and dropped him a 20 and we were able to get on the 3 o'clock tour. I didn't have to wait the 2 hours. So, yeah, man, it was a good trip altogether, man. Really enjoyed it. Got back tired as I don't know what. But obviously, while I was gone, Palestine decided to invade Israel, and
no, it's not Palestine.
Hamas. We'll say that Hamas. And that's what I really wanted to kind of talk about was that, and I was kind of gonna kind of go there. Is that a lot of people are saying it's Palestine versus Israel, and it's not. It's Hamas, but Israel retaliated against Palestine, and they are doing a lot to go against Palestine. And I don't know. I've seen people on both sides of the story. You know, as America, the country, we're always standing behind Israel in that. And but I will say that there's very good people on both sides of this story. To just use our President Trump on this. Hamas is bad, but that doesn't mean that they didn't give Israel the right to just go in and bomb, kill innocents and things like that in Palestine. So this is a nasty one, man. And I'm really, really scared. Putting my senior military advisor hat on, you know, this can really cause a world war. We talked about this with North Korea when we were kind of into it with them. We talk about it with China. This is another one of those powder keg moments where, you know, you can have a lot of the Middle East. There's a lot of countries that back Palestine. There's a lot that back Israel. And Iran. So as it escalates, it can get pretty nasty. So I'm kind of worried about this one, man.
Do you think that affects the political landscape today with it being election season? We're coming up.
It puts pressure on the House. It puts pressure on the House to pick a speaker. The Republicans nominated Scalise earlier today as we record on Wednesday. It's still unclear if he has the 217 votes he needs, but I think it does. Because I feel like they probably would have dragged this out a little longer than they will wound up dragging it out. But I think because of what's going on over in Israel and Palestine, that they may go a couple of rounds of voting, but I don't see it going like 15 rounds like it did with McCarthy. I have it went with that.
Why is it important to have a speaker?
The House cannot do any business whatsoever without a speaker of the House. So they can't even vote to for money to even help out with Israel and things like that.
Yeah. They can't put sanctions on anybody. They can't. Yeah. Like all that. Yep.
This was an intelligence failure too. Like,
yep.
We had a U.S. senator over there in Israel. We had Cory Booker was there when the attack happened. We had no clue whatsoever that this was going to happen. So it was an intelligence failure.
Not just on our part, but Israel is kind of, they're like one of the gold standards for like intelligence and border control and all that stuff. So it was, the whole thing was a surprise, you know. Did we give a good recap on what happened
with Israel and Palestine?
I mean, other than it happened, like I said, I'm just getting back to reality and trying to catch up. So I don't know exactly.
Hamas sent missiles over in Israel. They paraglided into Israel, killed the stories I'm reading and seeing, they killed babies, wives, fathers, you know, people that had nothing to do with, as far as the military. They beheaded babies, they raped women. They pretty much did every unimaginable thing you can think of when it comes to like war crimes and things like that, that go beyond war, terroristic things. You know, people call them a terrorist group.
And I think they, last time I heard, I think the kill count was over like 1,300 people died. Mm-hmm. And then they
how many Americans are in that too. It's like we're in the 20s or something like that.
And they've kidnapped, I think they said over 100 people and took them back to Gaza. And
Everybody's lying too. Raji said he fears world war. You got Iran saying, hey, we didn't have anything to do with that. And Hamas is like, no, Iran didn't help us. And America is like, we don't think Iran helped them. So everybody is like, because we're trying to keep
the peace,
as many countries out of this as possible, because once it is Iran, it can get out of hand very quickly.
Yeah. Yep. And the political landscape in Israel's always been like a political hotbed. Like, there's so many, like, they're unlike America, there's not really two political parties, so it's a lot of moving pieces over there. And I will say they're pretty politically educated. If you ever talk to anybody from Israel, like when it comes to politics, a lot of them are really in the know, because it's you know how a lot of times over here we say like for a lot of people don't feel like the politics or national politics affects them their day to day, right?
Yeah.
Your taxes.
Yeah, because they're centrally located to so many different things. Geopolitics makes a difference, right? Geography there. So when they make a political shift or anything or decision, it really affects them, because as you can see, they piss off the wrong person, they get invaded, and you know, 1,000 people die because of it. So it matters for their day to day lives.
So I think it's only proper to take a moment right now and to have a moment of silence for all the lives that were lost, especially the innocent, you know, on both sides. Razi said it, I mean, kind of tongue in cheek, but at the same time, it's, you know, they are good people and bad people on both sides. And then there's innocence on both sides.
That's really what I'm talking about. There are innocents dying on both sides.
So being in having been in a war environment and seeing innocent people fear for their lives on a daily basis, it's different. So let's just have a moment of silence for those people, and we'll keep the party going. Well, all right, then. Thank you for that. Anything else you wanted to bring to the table, Razi?
Just to brighten things up a little bit, I don't know if you guys like Guitar Hero at all growing up, or, you know, in your 20s, but I played a lot of Guitar Hero, and Activision is teasing that they're going to bring that back. So,
can they really? I guess they can change the game. It's just different songs and stuff like that. Just
different songs there, right? That's really all that matters. You get some new songs, you know, and right. They don't have Guitar Hero for the current gen systems. Like, you can't play them on current gen systems. So yeah. Unless you have a PS4 or Xbox One, you can't play Guitar Hero anymore. So I think that's the biggest thing, is being able to get new updated game, updated hardware. So, and then like the newer songs that are out, being able to play those. It's just, I mean, Guitar Hero is just awesome. It's fun to play anyway. So, yeah. You know, it's kind of, people are really excited about it, that, you know, it may be coming back.
You excited, Buff?
Nah.
Did you ever play Guitar Hero, man?
Nah.
No, I'm telling you, you play it one good time, man, you'll really enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah, I was addicted one Christmas break years ago. Yep. We were still in Tomaville back then. So with that being said, first of all, I want to say thank you, Rizzy, for your recommendation. Speaking, you know, we talked about
Swagger. Bacon Buff.
Swagger, I've only, I think, 3 episodes in, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Watched the first episode of Loki. What about you guys?
Yeah.
I'm on Swagger, first episode of Loki. I hope it gets better.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah. What now? Do I need to go back and watch last season? Because it's a lot.
They Feige has actually taken notice of that. And like he went, you guys know they're rebooting Daredevil as well. They've shot 5 episodes. He went back in, scrapped it, and fired their writers. And he's bringing in an actual showrunner. The thing about Marvel is they don't hire showrunners. The executives act as the showrunners for all their shows. And so there's not these complicated storylines a lot of times, unless the director weaves them in, because the executives don't really think like a showrunner, like a television person does. They think in movies. And so what he's doing is he's going back and saying he's got to do something with Marvel TV, because it just hasn't been good lately. Secret Invasion was kind of meh. You know, a lot of people didn't like Miss Marvel. So and She-Hulk fell flat as well. So the last amount of their shows just have not been that great. And so he saw those first few from Daredevil, and he's like, this should be pretty easy slam dunk. It's coming off of Netflix. So he fired them. So I think that's what's happening with Loki too, is just that they're not really thinking like a television show, and they're trying to do things in post-production that really should be done, you know, as you're writing, as you're going through, as you're filming. You just can't do it like you do a movie.
It's funny you say that, because when you mentioned Secret Invasion, I'm like, I don't know if I've seen that. I had to go back the whole time you were talking. I'm like, it sounds familiar. You know, I'm like, for a second, I'm thinking about What If. I'm like, no, it wasn't the cartoon. It's like, oh,
the Samuel Fury Jackson. Yeah, Nick Fury. Yep.
Yeah, that was horrible. You know, at first, I mean, no, you gave it credit at one point. You were liking it.
And then the first few episodes were pretty good. And then it just kind of, it got muddled.
I was like, what happened? I don't even remember how it ended. You know, I don't know if he pressed the button and freaking Captain Marvel's will be coming. I'm at this point, I'm just confused. I don't know if the Thanos snap happened. I'm perturbed. Rizzy, I mean, good news.
What's that?
Jada Pinkett Smith might be on back on the market soon. How you feel about that?
She's a little toxic. I don't know if I could do that. I'm gonna leave that for August Alsina.
I don't know if you can call women toxic these days, bro.
Jada Pinkett Smith is. I don't know about everybody else, but she definitely is, bro. Like it. I think I put it in our chat, man. I really think Will Smith is in on all of this. And they're trying to milk the publicity of it all.
You think he is?
I think he knows what's happening with all these releases and all of that. They've been separated for, she said, 7 years. So that means that when all of these things were happening, they really were separated. When the entanglement happened, he knew that she was, it wasn't her cheating on him, so he couldn't have been hurt because they were separated at the time. So, like, you know, all of these things.
Yeah, I don't think it was the entanglement that hurt him. I think he knew, we all knew, like, even when he did the interview, it wasn't like, we knew. I think the way she related, like, it's, I don't, man, I could be naive. I don't think he's in on it. I think there's certain things he knows, but then he's, I think he's always caught off guard on her actions. Okay, you had your little thing, da-da-da-da, and I felt like she was, like, I was never fulfilled. Like, she was just, come on my show, let's talk about it. Then you threw me under the bus.
Yeah,
you know,
but he had a chance to leave then and didn't. I mean, they were separated, but he goes and slaps Chris Rock over that, right? Like, that. There's things that I feel like he's using her just as much as she's using him to stay relevant. And so I feel like what's gonna happen is
movie star in the world.
He has started falling off. Like, Will hasn't made a big blockbuster in a while. Like, think about it. What was his last blockbuster?
You think being in the public going through this equates to having a blockbuster?
No, I'm saying it keeps him relevant. I don't think I mean, that's what I'm saying, is it keeps him in the conversation.
He's lost more stock in the last 3 years, 3-4 years than he's ever. He could just be nobody. He can walk around like Denzel just comes out every blue moon, does an Equalizer and goes back, you know, to doing his thing. Like, Will doesn't have to prove it. Will could have went 5-10 years without making a movie, and he's still, you know, TMZ. If he went out and jet skied in freaking Malibu, Will Smith jet skis in Malibu. Like, he did not need any publicity. She's the only person that needs to stay relevant because let's be honest, out of her whole family, you know, and it's not even like trying to knock her, she's probably the most irrelevant. Like, her kids just being them and who they are got a lot of attention, both good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you kind of expect that from Willow and Jaden. Jada, you know, I mean, she wouldn't got a talk show to talk to people every day and all this stuff. So I don't know. I don't think Will's in on it. It's just, I think he's on that, just let's keep the party going. We're okay with this. How do you mess this up? We've been separated for 7 years. How do you mess this up? You know, oh, I'm gonna announce the release of me cheating on you. Didn't have to happen.
Yeah, for her book. Her book is about to drop, and so she announces that. And that's why, I mean, I think Will knows what's his happening book, when his it's
book
coming.
Dropped. He dropped the book, what, 4 years ago? 3 years ago?
I think it was like three.
Right after the entanglement, yeah. The stuff.
And he didn't mention any of it. He didn't mention. They were.
It kind of came out around the time that his book dropped.
I don't think
that's true.
No, I don't think that's true. But, and he, they were separated 4 years prior to that. And he did not mention any of that. Jada is, okay, well, Razi, if you want to bump for Jada, it's cool. Yeah,
no, I'm not. She's toxic. I'm not saying that.
It's Sophia Vale. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
What I'm saying is, and I will roll with you guys. I don't know if Will knows exactly what she's playing or whatever. I do think Will knows the general what's going to happen. And I think it's all kind of, this is the conspiracy theorist in me. I do think that he knows what's happening with all this. I don't think he's getting caught off guard with this stuff.
I mean, I'm not going to say he's always caught off guard. I don't think he has any of the planning in it. Like, it's like, there's nothing in it for him.
I don't think he's like, do it right now, cause that'll help this. I don't think he's getting caught off guard with this stuff. I really do think Jada is using it to do whatever she needs to do. Right. Oh, I'm going to drop this, then I'm going to get Red Table Talk. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to sell my book. I do think that's happening. It's her plan. But I think we watch The Boys and what happens with that and everything. It's like they all know what's about to happen, and I feel like she clears it with him before she goes out and does this stuff.
I don't think she clears anything. Nothing about her makes me think she clears. She might tell him. she's about to do this. But nothing about Jada makes me seem like, well, no, let's wait another 2 years. Oh, you thought I was asking? But enough about her. Hey, Will, this is Ferg. This is your boy, Ferg. There's a couple of heavy hitters out there. Sanaa Lathan is single. Tia Mowry single. Freaking Nia Long single. I'm not saying they're great, but they are better than Jada.
And that slap was not to protect black women or her.
It was his ego?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was never about her.
Yeah, especially now, knowing that they were already separated. It was the dude saying F your boyfriend in front of me type thing. It's like he felt disrespected because he was saying it right there in front of him and stuff like that. I can definitely agree with that.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Is Sophie here?
She's not feeling well, but let me see. Let me see if she wants to kind of talk.
No, let Sophie go to sleep.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
Well,
she might still want to do it. She said come check with her. So she might want to still get up. Let me check. Nah, she's already asleep, man. So unless you know, it's 8:20. She knocked out.
Well, that's what's up. I mean, do you want to do a joke?
Let me see. Let me dig in the old bag of tricks. Let me see what I got up in here. I might have one or two. Okay, I got one. Why did the dude get fired for making plastic Draculas? He was only one of two people on the line, so he had to make every second one count. Get it? Count? Dracula? No? All right, so who's up first?
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. I can go first, but I feel like it's one of y'all turns to go first.
I went first last week, so.
I don't want to go first.
You don't want to follow me? Okay. No, it's a hard act to follow, Ferg.
So, I want y'all to take your time with this one, so may take a minute or two to think about this one, or not. But I want to know, because we discuss a lot of big topics on this show, a lot of different big topics. What is the last major issue that you've changed your mind on, changed your opinion on? It could have been 10 years ago, 15 years ago, last week, but something that you really felt strongly about for years upon your life, and then at some point, whether it's like experience or just aging, you're like, you know what? I changed my mind on that.
It's a hard one. I'm set in my ways, man. But I will say I've softened. I won't say I've changed my mind, but I will kind of say I've softened my opinion on having separate accounts. I don't know if you guys remember we talked about finances and combining finances and relationships and everything. And I was a huge proponent of having joint accounts, right? Like, hey, your money, my money, our money is our money. It goes in the same spot, that type of thing. I've really softened a good bit on that. Just having really close women in my life go through having joint accounts and being wiped out before the divorce. Couple different women in that I've known. And so I've really softened to where you have money. I guess it's to the point where I say you don't hide money. That's more so what it is. I'm okay with having separate accounts where, hey, you've got an account and I'm the pay on death beneficiary, and I've got an account and you're the pay on death beneficiary, but it's your account, my account thing. As long as we have access, I know what you got. You're not hiding money from me. You're not putting money over there, you know, before your check hits our joint account or something like that. And I don't know what's going over there. As long as you're open about what's in that account or what goes in that account and we know where the money, where our money is going, I'm a little softer on that than just saying, hey, our money's got to be combined and it needs to be a joint account, because as soon as somebody makes a decision to leave, they can go wipe that account out and there's nothing that a banker can do. You literally have to sue to get that money back, and it could eat up almost all the money that you're trying to get back based on, you know, if they want to fight it and if you got to do forensic accounting and all that stuff. It just sucks for a man or a woman, right? Either one of them, because I've seen women do it too. Being in banking, I've seen women do the same thing, right? Oh, he cheated on me, so I'm gonna go clean the account out and then I'm gonna leave, right? And now the guy doesn't have anything, or you know, the vice versa, that type of thing. So I've seen it on both sides from the banking perspective, but it just really hit home because it was like folks that were kind of close to me that it happened to. And so I've really softened on that one, where just I see the reasoning. I see why. You can say, oh, I don't want to set myself up and I don't want to make it seem like I'm preparing for somebody to leave and everything like that. But I think there is that little bit of, hey, I do have to protect myself just in case something crazy happens. And so if I want to put $10,000, $15,000 in a separate account that I can get to, and at least I got that, or a percentage of what we have in savings is only yours, only mine type thing, whatever you guys decide. But I just think we just need to have a conversation about it and know what's happening, so we're not hiding. And I think that kind of still toes the line of what I initially thought.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Mine may or may, it's probably not going to be a popular opinion, but it comes from a good place. Because I mentor, and because I look at more studies on the importance of fathers and strong male role models in rearing kids, I've changed my thought that men are, the value of a strong man role model in a child's life has definitely increased, because so many of us were raised by women and we turned out great, right? You turned out to be a great person, you know, especially in our Black community. So many of our mothers and aunts, you know, raise kids on their own. But just seeing it firsthand, the difference in how a lot of men interact with these kids, or the, I don't want to say the gender roles, but I think the life lessons we learned usually have us instill more, a different set of guidelines, or our focus is different than what I see a lot of women. Like, I talk to a lot of my moms all the times, and when I talk to them about their sons, and I see them catering to these boys so much. And I always say, hey, you know, nobody's gonna love your son like you do. I get that. I will never cater to him the way you cater to him. I'm here to more guide than cater, you know. And when I see some of the things, like when myself or one of my team members sits down and talks to the boy, you see a whole different reaction than you did when he's talking to his mom or one of the women. You see the difference, the level of respect. You see the change in him. And then hearing the feedback from these mothers, you know, a lot of times we don't even see it. They see it before we see it. Like, he's different because of you. The reason I brought him here is that he's needed. It is not saying these moms haven't raise great young men, but there's a, especially when it comes to young men, there's a certain amount of this, you know. I know you hear like, well, women can't raise men. They can raise them. But I think our women have done a great job of raising great people, but good and positive men can help mold them into better men. Because there's things that, you know, no matter how understanding the average woman is, most will never understand. Just like there's things that men will never understand about what it is to be a woman and how they have to navigate the world and things we take for granted. And it's just, and it's not a battle. It's just, man, if you can add that. And now you see studies saying that homes where kids have both parents, single mother, and single father, if you rank where these kids finish, unfortunately, those single mother households generally fall at the bottom of that ranking of where the kids go. And they're saying that, you know, there's certain things that the men are instilling, and it's, once again, it's not a knock on women, but there's certain things that the men are able to instill that is just different. And I just think about the role my stepdad played in my life as far as some of the guidance and the discipline that he instilled versus, you know, as loving as my mom is, she was never very emotional or everything like that, but she still was there, always got the love, but there was a difference. Like when I think about some of my certain characteristics that were instilled versus others, and it's not an exact science, you know, there's plenty of people like, my mom did it all, yada, 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 I turned out great. Awesome. Awesome. I'm just saying, with the studies showing what I see quite often and what the parents are telling me they're experiencing, the difference they've seen in their sons. So probably going to get some flack on that. Might get canceled. Who knows? But like I said, it's not a knock on mothers. It's if to all the women who are raising men, if you can pair them with a good group of men, please do. I think you'll see the difference.
Yeah, I'll
very good.
Definitely, good piggyback answers on that, because I mean it's vice versa in, you know, my situation, and I'm really so thankful for Haley for being that exact thing for Sophie, right? Like, she gets that feminine energy. Like, hey, when I say, hey, let's just go to Walmart and grab these tights and this stuff, and Haley's like, no, we're going to get her these cute things and this, that, and other, and I can tell the difference. And like, Sophie really is like, yeah, I want to do that, right? Versus me just like, look, just put some clothes on and let's go. And so just that, right? It's a different energy that you get from that other gender. And I definitely agree on that one, having that influence there. So like you say, I always talk about, yes, I can raise Sophie, raise a young woman, but at the same time, I need help to be able to raise her to be a well-rounded woman. She needs that feminine energy that I'm not going to give to her.
Yeah.
For a long, long time, I was against abortion. I remember being here with a friend of mine and his wife and Tabitha, and we were having a discussion, and I didn't know it at the time. I really felt like a jerk after I found out, because at the time she actually had an abortion before. So that's why I'm not going to use any names, by the way, but she had an abortion before, but I didn't know that at the time. And in the heat of the bait, you know what I'm saying, I was in it. And she was like, you know, well, what if a woman is like in school or something like that, or and it inconveniences her. And I'm like, oh, so we saying it's okay to kill babies because it might inconvenience you? What is that?
Wow.
I was going in. But as I've over the years, like nothing major happened to where like made me say, oh man, let me change my mind on that. It's just over the time, it's like, you know, I'm not the one that has to carry it. I'm not the one that whose body is gonna go through all of those changes and things like that. I was always against it. I was always like, my exception were always, you know, for rape, a threat to a mother's health. I always had those exceptions built in, but other than that, I was against it. But over time, you know, it's just like, you know, I don't have any skin in the game. So it's a little ass for me to be saying what women can't do when I'm not the one that's going through it.
Yeah.
Now, I still don't love it. I don't like it, but it's not up to me.
And I think that's a perfect example. Like I would say I'm pro-choice for the world. I'm pro-life for myself. But if something happens today, we probably have to have a very serious conversation, because as you guys know, and some of our listeners may know, like when my wife was pregnant with our last son, she was on bed rest almost 6 months. That's dangerous for her. Anytime I got a random call from her, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I've rushed my wife to the hospital not knowing if she was going to make it before. And I can't put her through that. I can't put myself through that again. And then there's some people that know the situation better, you know, like they might be irresponsible, but they also like I know the chance of this little black baby getting adopted in this community are very slim. I know I'm a piece of shit and I can't raise them. Like there's people that really make the decision. Like, do you bring somebody into a world where, you know, it's just going to be destructive and all this other stuff, you know? And I'm not saying they're making the right decision, but if it's a well thought out decision and that person truly feels like they're doing the best thing, who am I to say, you know, you're wrong. Right. I think that's something we can always, I think people have to be open to letting people do what works for them, as long as it doesn't tread on their own personal lifestyle. Like, I'll never tell anybody they can't have abortions because I want that same right for myself. You know, I think people like, well, it's my religious belief and you just can't do it. And it's like, well, maybe that's not mine. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. And you know, it's to tell somebody what they can't do and you're not even going to help raise it.
Right.
Yep. When, if she does have, it's like, right. Who are you?
Yeah. But then you're the same. Let's be tough on crime. You know, when these kids who enter that might grow up in this neighborhood in a one parent household and the mom is teen mom or whatever the case may be, especially if you know the statistics in this neighborhood and they just decide not to have a kid. And it's just not a black thing, by the way. I'm just saying things that have been close to me where, you know, then that same baby, that mom, we were fighting to have the baby 15 years from now, you want to treat them as an adult and have them locked up for life. You know, there's no, oh, my mom almost had her abortion and she didn't because her religious belief, do I get a mulligan? You don't get a get out of jail free card for that when these kids end up in the system and stuff. So
I was a jerk that day, but
it happens.
What made you your belief so strong? That's what I always question. How do we get our beliefs? These things that we fight tooth and nail for. It's like when you sit down and think about it, what the hell? Why am I so angry?
I always thought it was wrong, but Tabitha and I, we went to a play. I had no idea what this play was going to be about, but we had gotten free tickets from a coworker of mine. I was still in training for Capitol Police, as a matter of fact. But we went to this play. And it was very graphic because, you know, they use acting on stage, but they also use video footage. And maybe you guys already knew this all along, but I was definitely ignorant to it. But just to see how developed they are in the very, very early stages, like I think for me growing up, I'm like, man, first 3 months is not really anything. But like they were showing images of, you know, aborted fetuses like within 1 month. And it's like, damn, like we really are killing living things. Still feel that way. It's just that I can't be against something that I personally am not going to go through. I don't know what women's situations are or what they're going through or things like that. So I'm in no position to tell someone what they can and can't do when it's affecting their body and not mine.
Yeah. And not just their body. Like you say, it's their entire, it changes their entire lifestyle, right? Because most times the guys are like, yeah, I'll be there on the weekends, or right, or you know, I'll give some child support, but you know, you still got it. So it, yeah, it's very, very different, man, and it's a very personal choice. And I know we had that conversation about should guys have a say or not in it, and I, you know, it ultimately comes down to, yeah, unless he's like, no, and I'm gonna take the baby, and you know, after this, unless he's saying that, then nah, he really don't have a choice in it, because it's like you say, her body, her choice, her decision, her life that has to kind of go into it. So,
well, hey, my wallet, my life still, can't control your body, can't control my wallet. I still stand behind that.
Yeah,
no, it was just interesting. I a lot of times when I ask people, why do you believe that? Like, where did that come from? Not questioning that it's wrong. It was like, a lot of times we don't even know. Like, you, Byron, you're one of a few people that just had like a visual, like, okay, yeah, that, no.
Yeah.
Nope. That was your, you know, what, forks over knives type thing, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, hell, you know, no. Like,
nope. that's how you become a vegan. Yeah. Versus, you know, I grew up in a church, and you know, I was watching Young Sheldon. I'm a Big Bang Theory fan, and Young Sheldon's a really good show, spinoff. And the oldest son gets a girl pregnant in one of the seasons, and the mom was so, and they grew up in Texas, and the mom was so hell bent on like, well, they need to get married now. Like, in her mind, because she grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and you get somebody married, the boy is 17, the girl was 29. He lied to her about his age, but it was still like, her whole thing was, they need to get married, because how's that going to make me look in the church? How can I go to the church thinking, you know, knowing that my son had a baby out of wedlock? And it's like,
and it, yeah, just to piggyback on that, it's definitely not some political or even religious reasons, because those are the type of people that would be hypocritical. And when the situation is tough for them, they will choose abortion.
We've seen it happen.
Yes, that has literally happened. Like you said, like, you're not going to be able to keep that baby. You're not going to have me looking foolish up in church.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe hypothetically, a congressman may get their mistress pregnant and don't want her to get out. Mm-hmm. So he forced her to have an abortion. You know, and he could be from Tennessee. Yeah. Could happen.
Yeah.
We got one more question, man. Is that all the time we got for?
Yeah. I got a couple of questions. Okay, my question. It's kind of weird. I'm gonna give you a couple examples, and I'm gonna preface it with, when is it okay to be an asshole? And are we really being an asshole? So there was a situation, I sent you guys a video a few weeks ago, where there was a mother who was planning her son's birthday party, right? And she invited all the kids in this class to the birthday party except for one kid. And I want to say that one kid was autistic. And the reason she decided not to is because the kid went to a previous birthday party, and when it was time to open gifts and blow out the candles, because he wasn't allowed to blow out the candles, he had an episode. And so for her, she wanted to avoid that whole situation. And she tries to teach her kids to be, you know, open and not mistreat people and not judge people based off of their, you know, things they can't help, you know, base people off of who they are, right? Their character. And so I don't know if you remember that question, Buff, or that video, but it was a discussion about that. But then there was another video that I saw, and it's not necessarily the same thing, but it's almost around the what do you owe other people, where KG and Paul Pierce were talking about current NBA players resting during the season. And they were like, well, they never did it. They owe it to the fans who are paying their paychecks and, you know, buying the tickets. You know, people have come from all across the country and all across the world to see LeBron play, and LeBron sitting out for the next three games. And, you know, they were just really talking down on him. My question is, at what point do you put yourself first or your interest first? You know, are you obligated to be the bigger person? Are you obligated to, in the first situation, you know, potentially, you know, they were saying that person was just discriminating against the kid with autism, right? In this situation, you're being selfish and taking away from the fans' experience. At what point, or is there a point where you put your needs or your wants or your situations before those of others?
Okay, so the birthday scenario, the parent does not have to invite the autistic kid, and I get it. Now, I want to give her or any listener that may be in a similar situation some options. You can talk to that kid's parents and say, hey, this is my concern. You know, we have no issue with, you know, your child other than at the last birthday party, this is what happened. I don't want this to happen at my child's birthday party. And hopefully that parent will, I don't know, do something to try to prevent the kid from having another episode like that. Or that portion of the birthday party, he can be excused out of the room, go somewhere else. Your child blows the candles out, bring her back in, keep the party going. Now, for basketball players, because this comes up more and more each year as teams begin to rest players. For an NBA player, I don't blame him. I mean, and it does suck. You know, NBA tickets are not cheap, especially if you're like a family of four. You want to take your kids, buy food, pay for parking. Man, you probably could easily be out of $500 or more without even having great seats. And then to get there and LeBron doesn't play or Anthony Davis doesn't play, and it's not because they're injured, it's because it's load management. They're rested. This is what I'll say. I don't blame the players. That's something the league needs to do something about. It's up to the league to do something about it, because ultimately the league is the product. Players sign these contracts, and hey, the ultimate goal is to win the championship, rest your body as much as you can. Plus, it ain't even necessarily just rest. It's 82 games in the NBA season, and it's some, I mean, imagine if you play in Miami, my team. Imagine you play in Miami, you 60 games in the season, you got a game coming up in Milwaukee in February, it's freezing outside, it's not a glamorous city. I don't feel like playing today. Load manage me, man. I get it. It's 82 games of professional ball up and down the court. I get it. But it's up to the league to do something about it, because ultimately, your fans are where your bread and butter is. Your fans are the ones that are allowing you to get these big TV contracts. Your fans are the one that are allowing these players to get $200, $300, $400 million for a contract. So you got to look out for the fans. So as a league, it need to be severe punishments on teams, on players or coaches or whatever it'll take to get them to stop them from doing this, because it wasn't always like this. But it has become a proper thing, and statistics show that it doesn't even keep players healthy. Like Kawhi Leonard did all that resting, Paul George did all that resting, and they miss playoff games. So you do all that resting, let down all these fans, and then come to playoffs, you still ain't available. So you might as well play. But again, if I'm a player, who doesn't want to take off from work? Who doesn't like days off? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You could say, yeah, they make all this money. Yeah, they earn that money. That still don't mean you don't want any days off. To somebody else, to somebody that's working at McDonald's, I'm probably overpaid. I still like days off. So it's up to the league to do something about that.
Yeah. And I truthfully, I hate to say it, but I think fans are going to have to get over it a little bit. You know, they rest pitchers. They count pitch counts in baseball the same way, right? Like, oh, he's hit his pitch count. Pull him out. he's not pitching this game, or he's pitching this game. Like, you might want to go see your favorite pitcher and he don't pitch that day, or they skip him in the rotation because they got another game 2 days from now that they really want him to pitch for, so they got to hold out. Like, that's how it works in baseball, and baseball folks kind of have gotten used to it. They understand it. I think it's the same thing here. I do think you want to have a minimum count of games that they need to play in or something like that.
They got,
it's almost
PTO.
Like you say, give them PTO, right? Yeah. Hey, you can sit out 4 games a season. That's it. Or 5 games a season. You pick which ones, y'all figure it out. So I do think the league needs to come in and kind of start setting some boundaries to it. And it's like, hey, if they kind of same thing we do at work, right? If you need more days than what we give you in PTO, you got to go on FMLA and I got to put you on IR. Right, you got to go on injury reserve at that point, and announce that they're going to be inactive. So then the fans can not buy their tickets if LeBron's not playing, and you know they don't want to see him or something. Do something like that. But I think we as fans have to get used to that, because it is a lot of games and it's a lot of wear and tear. Because you're talking about just the games, but it's practice on top of that, right? It's the travel. They're traveling a lot more, right? So now I'm gonna fly from this city to that city, get 1 or 2 days to practice in that city, and then boom, I got 2 nights, 3 nights that I'm playing that team or whatever.
Events,
that,
marketing.
Yeah, with events, marketing, all that stuff. Like, it's a lot of work. Kind of what I was talking about with Beyonce and you know, having that team around her, but it's still a lot of work. It's still a lot of extra work, especially your superstars that they're doing, right? Like, the seventh man, the eighth man on the bench aren't going to all those extra events, right? So that they're ready to get in the game. They're all refreshed. They've been at the hotel all day, you know. They're ready to get in the game. But, you know,
they might get left. Where Rise is? I think he rolled with Buff.
Right.
No, Buff, so, right over there.
That's what I mean. So I think it is a time to be selfish, but I do think that, you know, when you're at work, you have to figure out that balance there. But just in general, you have to, we talked a little bit about the power of saying no and being able to say no. You know, that's like the worst thing for me. I'm bad at saying no. And so I have to be selfish and I have to consciously feel selfish and know that I'm being selfish, so I can't say no sometimes. That's the only way I'm gonna say no, is to be selfish and to be able to say, I know I'm gonna let this person down, I know I'm not gonna be able to do that for that person, but I'm stretched too thin right now. There's nothing else I can do. No, I can't be on your board. No, I can't help you or whatever, because I just got too much on my plate right now. And so I think being selfish is something that you have to inherently be comfortable doing and being, or you're going to stretch yourself way too thin. And that goes for all these other things. When you talk about letting people come to your parties and now you're stressed the entire time trying to manage that, where you're like, look, I'm already wrangling 12, 20 kids running around my house all day. I don't want to have to add that extra stress of having your child there that's going to get into a fight because they want to open the gifts when everybody else is, when my child's opening their gifts or blow out the candles and stuff. So I like what you talked about, Buff, where have the conversation with the other party. Say, here's my concerns. Your kid's invited, but during that time, I'm going to need you to, you know, hey, y'all going to have to leave before it. Or like you say, take them outside, let them do something different while we do this thing, because I don't want to deal with that meltdown. If we know that that's what they do kind of every time in parties. But I do think that, you know, just being a good community neighbor, inviting them and that inclusiveness is something, but you probably need to have that conversation with the parent.
Yeah, because they invited, if I remember correctly, every kid in the class. So if there's
right.
20
that,
kids,
I think
19.
That's the difference. And so a lot of times I don't invite every kid in the class just for that. I know the kids that I want to invite out of Sophie's class or out of Ollie's class, and those are the ones that get the invite. Those are I have their number in my phone, because the kids have played outside of school. Those are the ones that get invited to their parties.
And that's what's so crazy. Guess what you just did?
What?
Every kid you didn't invite, you discriminated against.
I didn't discriminate. I excluded. There's a difference.
Okay. And so is there a difference with the kid with autism?
Yes, because the reason why I'm excluding them is considered a protected class, right? There's a reason I'm excluding them. that that child can't really control. There's a difference of, I'm only inviting Sophie's actual friends, right? Like, look, just because you're in the class with them doesn't mean you get invited to their birthday party. If I've never heard your name, if my child has never said your name when you came home, I'm not inviting you and paying my little, what is it, $35 each kid so that they can go to laser tag. I'm not paying that $35 for the kid that they don't have. And that one, for me, that shows my child that you don't have to be friends with everybody. I don't want my child to think she has to be friends with everybody and she has to invite everybody and be cool with everybody. It's like, be friends with who are friends with you, be good to people who are good with you, and everybody else, they just got to get in where they fit in, but they're not coming in, they're not coming into your space.
And you might not get invited to everything either.
Yeah, exactly. And I want them to be comfortable with that. I have to deal with that with Sophie and Ollie when Sophie gets invited to something and Ollie isn't, because he's not even in the class. He doesn't even know the kid. But Ollie's like, why does she get to go to the birthday party at the jump place? I'm like, because that's her friend. And the same thing with Ollie going. And Sophie's like, well, are we going to go too? I'm like, no, you stay at home with Haley. Like, I'm taking Ollie to his birthday party with his friends. So,
yeah, I mean, I agree with both of you, what both of you guys said. I think it's crazy how quick we are to villainize people because they didn't do what we wanted them to do. And I think I was thinking about this after we had the conversation from last week with Jay-Z and the $4,800, right? It's people feel like you're obligated to do things. And if you don't do that, you're a villain. You know, Byron, that well said, you came up with solutions. Everybody's not solution oriented like that. Everybody, you know, all you know is I got enough planning this event. I didn't even know that was an option. I didn't even think about that. It doesn't make you a bad person. It's just like you didn't think about it. Now, maybe society, just like you said, the NBA needs to maybe change things. Maybe society needs to teach better tactics for dealing with kids who have learning disabilities or anything that makes them a protected class. And maybe that's in a student handbook, you know, like, hey, as you have parties throughout the year, here are some helpful hints to, you know, help with certain kids, you know, whatever. And now, you know, like, it's like, oh, I would have never thought of that. Okay, you know, just make sure he steps outside before we do this. You know, if you're inviting everybody, if you don't do this, or, you know, those are things, because you're not, when you're planning a kid's birthday party, you're not intentional. Like, okay, how can I screw over the autistic kid?
Right.
You know, like that's not it. It's just like, you know what? I love my daughter. I love my son. I'm just trying to make sure they have the best birthday ever. And I don't want anything to go wrong. Hell, I don't invite their drunk uncle because he doesn't know how to act. You know, there's people you just don't, and not comparing the two, just like at the end of the day, you're just trying to eliminate any outside noise or anything that can take away from that kid's special moment. And now I'm a bad person because I didn't worry about your child. Because in the comments, that was one of the things, is you had a lot of people who had kids who are on different levels of the spectrum. And they were, you know, it seemed like they were triggered by the video or the comments, and it was like, oh yeah, you're a piece of crap, da, 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 da. And it's like, wow, this person just wanted to have a birthday party for their kid. And I mean, you could say if he was the only black kid in the class and they didn't invite him, you know, would that be different? I don't know. As long as it wasn't at a Klan rally, and you know, I don't know. Same with the NBA.
It's that expectation of what would change if you invited them, right? Like, yeah, if they were black and you're excluding them, like, what would that have changed the party? What made the party awkward inviting the black kid?
We can't tell black jokes. And my racist daughter or my racist son can't do. You know, that's a good point. And with the NBA, same thing. I think, you know, people want off days. You know, I think it sucks. I've been in places where whoever I thought was going to play didn't play. And it's cool. You know, it is what it is. Yeah. You know, there's days.
Hopefully you're there for the team, not just that individual player, too.
That is also true.
I'm not gonna lie. I go to an NBA game or two every season, and I try to strategically pick what game I think I know the starters are going to play.
But you know, like, I've heard the game before. You know, you just never know.
That's the thing too. Like, even before the whole rest thing, it's always a risk because of injury and things like that. Suspension sometimes.
Hell, I'm pretty sure there was a million people who were trying to get into that Jets opening game. Four plays in, why am I here?
Oh my God.
You know, I could have stayed home for that. So, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up, fellas.
Well, Ferg, you did the moment of silence at the beginning of the show, which I just kind of want to... My final comments were going to be sort of along those lines, in that I've heard some very, in my 45 voice, some very nasty comments from some, I'll just say prominent people because of where I work. I'll just say that. But like saying that we need to obliterate Palestine, we need to turn it into a parking lot. You do realize it's citizens in that country. Like, I understand how Hamas operates out of there, but that doesn't mean every innocent person in that region, that area, should be killed and wiped off the map. We really need to really realize that innocent lives are at stake, like you said, on both sides. So I just want to, like, what Hamas did was bad. It was terrible. It was all the adjectives you want to throw out there. But at the end of the day, you can't just champion killing other innocent people. That's not the way to go.
I'll say this. I'm glad you brought that up. For a lot of people, and I think Rozzy and I have seen this firsthand, when you are sold a narrative, and you start believing that narrative, people start dehumanizing other humans.
Exactly what's happening.
And it's so like they become like actual villains in everything around them, you know. And I still remember, like, we've been in situations where we saw people who were hurt and like suffering, young, like all this stuff. And no matter what they did, you saw them as we saw them as humans, because they were, you saw the fear, you can hear the fear, you can hear the pain, you can see all the stuff, and you're like, at this point, this person's like scared. And these, some of these guys are young. Even, you know, I'm not a sympathizer for Hamas, I'm not saying that, but sometimes you don't even know how people end up in these type situations and how young these people are and stuff like that. And I'm not saying, I'm not trying to protect them or anything like that, but going back to the civilians, it's amazing how quick people just buy into the lie that all these people are bad. I mean, you know, when we had all this anti-Muslim rhetoric, you know, years ago, for years, being a Muslim was almost like a crime to some people.
Right.
When, like, they just saw Muslims as evil. Yeah, they just saw Muslims as being terrorists and being evil and, you know, death to Muslims. And it was just, to this day, still random Muslim hate crimes at a random mosque that has nothing to do with, there's no intel that there's anything wrong with this. But yet and still, people find a way to hate people. And it's so sad, you know, like, I mean, but
I still remember when Colin Powell was on Meet the Press and he said something along the lines of, what if Obama was Muslim? So what? And it was like such a, it was such like an aha moment. Like, oh, like, we were so busy saying, he's not a Muslim. No, he's not. He's not a Muslim. And Colin was like, what if he was? That's okay.
Yeah. I mean, and I believe that on so many things when it comes to sexuality and everything. Oh, he ain't gay. He's not gay. Okay, but what if he was? Like, what does that change about this person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's saying the things that you, and we've had plenty of Christian presidents that have never necessarily done anything. You know, that is not the saving grace. So my bad, Roger. So, my bad.
Well, the only other thing I had is Carly Russell, a judge with the state of Alabama, has ruled, or at least recommended, that she serve 1 year and pay, I think it's $831 in fines and up to $18,000 in restitution. And if you forgot, Carly Russell is the woman who allegedly saw a baby on the side of an interstate and faked her own kidnapping and returned like, what was the next day or 2 days later? And it was found to be a hoax. So that just came down. But that's all I got.
We try not to do these, but we do them pretty regularly, actually. And so we have another police shooting down in Decatur. And so just wanted to bring that one up. It's another one. Yeah, the Decatur Police Department killed Steve Perkins. He literally had a flashlight in his hands with his hands up. They ran around a house, saw him, and said they started shooting, shot him like 9 times or something like that before he was able to respond. So again, people are asking for results, body cam footage. It was captured on a Ring doorbell. And that's the only reason how people knew what happened with it. You heard the police officers yelling, he's got a gun, that's a gun, that's a gun. But comes to find out, or what we do know, is that it looked like a flashlight because you could see the flashlight shining in the Ring doorbell as he moved around. But I just want to say thoughts and prayers to the Perkins family, the folks that have been affected down there. Hopefully we get the body cam footage quickly so that we can know exactly what happened, what those police saw, and can make a really informed decision on it. But I want to commend the people that are down there and they're protesting peacefully. They are going to the courthouse. They're demanding answers, but there hasn't been any violence. There hasn't been anything that sparked anything. So good job to you guys on that. And like we said, thoughts, prayers to everybody that's involved in that. And hopefully we get some answers pretty quickly.
I haven't heard about that, Rizzy. So thank you for informing us on that. We talked about this before. We've joked on about it before, Black Girl Magic. But once again, hats off to Simone Biles for solidifying herself as the greatest gymnast of all time. She just won her 8th all-around national title, winning the gold. I mean, not national title, world title. This year was actually different. They had, I think, for the first time, 3 black girls on the podium for the world title. Well, don't worry about it. Just first time they've had an all black podium ceremony for the all around. So hats off to those young ladies. We'll just put their names in the bio for the thing. With that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.